Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Sobriety. Moving further every day. Plenty of young cats still got affection for real.
Good morning, Sunday morning. Whether you're an art breaker, an art maker, an art faker, or an art partaker, welcome to all, because all are welcome to Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. I'm the one they call Clinton, and I'm here with a woman so woke, I just blew my joke, so woke, that when she's in a speedboat, she doesn't even have a wake behind her.
Ah, that's awesome.
She just has a path cut through the ocean of white supremacy.
Yes.
Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Good morning, Clinton. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you, Leslie?
Show hangover. It's a thing.
It seems to be a thing.
It is a thing, man. Like, getting up this morning, I was like, oh, right. I don't... Holy... I have the show. That's what I have to do. Let me get my black ass out of bed.
The show. Because it's not like it's something that happens every week.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, I'm a little tired.
Are you?
I'm a little tired.
How's the show going?
You know, like...
Which show is this for people who do not know?
For people
are
who
you
don't
in a show?
Know, I am. I am in
you
Black Mac. I'm in Black Mac.
Is it really called that?
Yes.
I thought it was just called Macbeth.
Well, because it's an adaptation, it's not the original
I see.
Script.
Okay.
We All decided right. to... name it differently so that people would
Black
have
Mac.
some inkling that they would not be coming to see
a
traditional
like,
Macbeth.
But Black Mac, that sounds like the McDonald's hamburger that you don't want to have.
Is that the one? That's, is that the one Burger King does with the black bread? Is that what that is?
That's the one that's been sitting around in the back for a while.
No, it is not at all stale. I can tell you, though, that...
Oh, dude, you got a Black Mac. I'm sorry about that.
I can tell you that at my tender age, doing this much physical comedy, my body is like, what are you doing?
It's a different thing, isn't it?
It's so different. I'm like...
It's a different thing.
Oh, my God.
One moment, you're just bouncing around the stage. You're like, la-da-da-da-da, I can do this, I can do that. And the next moment, you're like, well,
this hurts, man. Wait a minute. Like, all of a sudden, my body's like, hey, you ain't 23 no mo. What you doing? So, yes, there's...
Yeah, and the body's not really polite when it does.
It's not like... polite. I mean, I had to clean that up for radio. I really did. Just, yeah. There were some expletives in
That's
there.
Real.
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah. But I'm having a great time. Like, we've had some really great audiences. We've had great reaction to it. And even, actually, Ray Netzel, I think, gave us the best compliment ever. He said... It's like, you know, I...
Almost as good as a Big Mac?
Almost.
You guys are the special sauce
he
of
said
local theater?
That, you know, he's... You know, Ray's been doing theater forever.
Mm-hmm.
He's seen, like, a lot of Shakespeare.
He's got both all beef patties.
Right. And he was like, you know, I came because it's you guys and I wanted to see it. But I was like, it's Shakespeare, you know, been there, done that. And he's like, I walked in and it was in the round. And he's like, oh... This will be cool. This will be different. And then he saw the opening and he's like, oh, this is really going to be different. And he was like, it was surprise after surprise after surprise after surprise and kept him interested in a story that he knew really well.
Right.
So, yeah, that made me happy. When I can surprise a theater person, you
yeah.
know, like that, yeah, that's a win.
Dig in.
Yeah.
Dig in. Well, let's head over. I don't have a segue. I was gonna
you
say
you don't have a segue.
Let's head over to the guy who's always surprising. No,
just, really, are really you work. Always surprising them?
He's not surprised that I don't have a segue.
I don't know about that.
Let's head over to our first guest. Our first
yes.
and maybe only guest today. We've got a guest no show. Let's hope that he's just running late. But we'll see what happens. Our first guest today, local artist Nim Pedersen. What up,
hey.
Nim?
Hey, good morning.
What's up? I missed you last time you were on the show.
Well, that was maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, Nim was one of. I was just telling somebody the other day that Nim was one of our earliest guests.
Yeah, that, I think that was two years ago in August, next month. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was. It was a while ago. It was a while ago.
But so time glad. Goes by so fast now.
So glad to have you back on the show.
Oh, I'm happy to be back, and thank you, Clinton.
And you're talking about your new show at Chroma Arts Project.
Your current show.
It's running through July 28th. Synonyms, Antonyms. So tell me what that's about.
Well, the title was created by Deborah McLeod, who's the director of Chroma Projects, and because my name is Nim, and you get it, NYM, and I liked it. I thought, oh, that's good, because I do a lot of collages, so there's a lot of words in my collages from just random things from newspapers, magazines, books, old books, whatever I find. This show is mostly drawings, mostly pen and ink, and some collage, but it's mostly drawings, which are what I do more of these days, since I'm working in a non-art capacity so much of my life.
As we all do.
Right? So that's what's up with the art. I mean, the oil painting is taking a big back burner. So, but it's a fun show. It's kind of, I think Deborah described it as kind of whimsical and carefree. And I guess, you know, it's very, my drawings are really spontaneous. I don't think about them. I just do them and what comes out.
I wanted to ask that because they are so, even when I was looking at them and talking to Deborah about them, I was struggling to find the right term. Because I want to say, it's not that they're sparse. It's not that they're minimalist. It's not but you know they're. It's not that they're simple, but they. I mean, the pieces are clearly thought about. They're constructed, but it almost feels like there's a brevity in the construction of the drawings themselves. Is that true, or did you spend a lot of time with the figures?
That what is true is that over the years, and I've been making pictures for, I guess, you know, 35 years since I got out of school, and many years since before school, so most of my life. But the drawing has gotten more fluid. So if you can draw fluidly and not go back and correct things, then you're going to get like that kind of immediate, kind of organic feeling where it's not worked on.
It's got that feel where it's like zoom.
How I learned to do that, I think the best part of my education as an artist, and really like the only formal part, was doing life drawing for a number of years.
Right.
Back in, you know, 3 years ago when I lived in New York. And I did that over and over again until I got comfortable with representing the human body in a natural, realistic way, where we would have 2-hour classes with like 15 minute of like 30 and 10 second drawings. Then, you know, half an hour of a longer drawing where you're working on one pose by the model. And then the last hour would be like an hour doing one pose where you could do shading and like more finished type drawing. Mm-hmm. But I think that taught me how to see the human body in its elemental way, so that doing these quick and spontaneous figure drawings became something that I could do without thinking. You know, I could just do it.
That makes sense because it's... One thing that's striking about the work is with very few lines, with very simple figures, the figures, the poses, they're so evocative, right? You sit there and you just, at least I was drawn into them, but then I tend to like to assign narratives to things.
Yeah,
I have a hard time with just...
Well, I think everybody does that, especially...
Right. We do it, I do it, and
it was like, okay, what's this person thinking?
One drawing,
what's this person doing, and what's this...
Isn't in the show, and said, oh, that's like olive oil from Popeye, and I said, I had not thought of that, but you're right, it looks exactly like olive oil.
Really?
Posture, body, stance, everything. So yeah, we all see something that's our own, I guess, and that's good. I mean, I like to the drawings that I, you know, framed for the show were drawings that I thought that I really liked,
and then
you know, some people are going to like them, and they're going to like them for maybe different reasons. They're going to see something different. One lady who's a sculptor, she saw one drawing and it reminded her of these sculptures she's working on right now.
Oh, wow.
And I was lucky she bought that drawing. So yeah, there you go.
So you said that you, when you sat down to do these, you just didn't think about it. You just kind of sat and whatever came is what ended up on the paper.
I mean, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, that's the way I look at all my, like, painting, collage. Well, that might be a little different because
there's more prep.
There's more technique, and you're putting stuff on top of stuff and peeling stuff and ripping stuff, and it's more of a, might be a little more mental things going on.
Right.
But as far as drawing, and also I'm trying to do that in painting, because painting is another thing that you can put too much thought into, and you lose the spontaneous and the fluid, and then you get a static image.
Right.
Which, you know, it's hard. It's hard to get away from that, but that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, can we talk about the collage nature of it? Because it seems like all of the works are collage. Because as you said, there are drawings which are very fluid, and I, for lack of a more educated term, minimalist. But they're sitting on other media frequently, like pages from books. I don't think there's newspaper, but there are other things. So even those drawings are layered. Can you talk about and that's got to be,
that's true.
Like, that wasn't just something that's pulled off. Like there was one page where the words were, because I kept looking. It's like, do the pages comment on? Do the background thing comment on the drawings in the foreground? And there was one where the words were backwards. Like, how did you like?
Were you doodling? Is that what this was?
I'm a mason, and that's one of our tricks.
Oh.
Well, actually, I'll tell you, the paper I used for a lot of my drawings is partly practical and partly because it's fun. And when I go to recycling, which I do about once a week, I go into the book trailer or whatever it's called. And I found a lot of stuff in there. And one of the things I found were these wallpaper sample books. So, like, there's certain pieces of paper that have, like, a flower or some kind of pattern in the background, and those are wallpaper samples, which I then usually gesso over to give it, like, a kind of more of a uniform visual surface, and also because I like drawing on gessoed things.
Right.
And then I draw on top of them. So that's part of the paper I use. And then it's actually a drawing, but it's a collage. I took a bunch of drawings, ripped them up, and made a new figure out of several drawings. And then you get, you know, like, it's a collage drawing. My dad, who was an artist, he would call those post drawings. That was his term for a collage made of drawings that you tore up, like your own drawings, as opposed to, like, magazine stuff.
And mm-hmm.
So there's one of that. And then a lot of the paper's also, like, old, really old books that I found. And mm-hmm. So there's one that's, like, in French and one's in Russian. And sometimes I don't know what the words mean. Other times they're, you know, English and I do know. And so there might be a word that pops out that I like that I'm going to make sure that you can see that word. I can't think of one offhand, but that's sort of, but it's sort of a random thing that I don't think about before I start making the thing. So
what is it that speaks to you in a background piece that makes you think, oh, that's something that I, that is,
yeah,
it, is, it, is,
oh,
it, is it, is it, is it visual? Is it, well, is it something narrative, like, oh, this thing is talking about this, that'll be good. Or is it, I like the way that this page looks, or
it's both. Sometimes it's that the word sort of fits into the, or like the text will be like somehow make a good division for the lines of the drawing. So sometimes it's that way, and that usually happens by chance. And sometimes it'll be a word that for whatever reason, maybe for a comment on the world today or just a word I think is funny, you know. So it's there's not a true like method. It's just, you know, it's like, you know, making pictures is, it has to be like fun. So if it's not fun, you know, I wouldn't be doing it.
So is there a certain process that you go through? I mean, you said you don't really think about what you're going to do before you do it. You just kind of sit down and it comes. But yeah. is there like a certain process you go through like during the day? Like, okay, I know I'm gonna draw later on today, so that means tricky. I have to do these three things. You know, like that's, what?
Okay, I'll tell you. My wife and I and our two sons live on a small farm in Crozet. Okay?
Right.
So I have, when I'm home in the morning, which is most days, I have to take care of our farm and the animals and do a bunch of chores. So
right.
I can't even think about like
right.
art stuff until that basic stuff is out of the way. And then, you know, I never have what they call a writer's block, or I guess you could call it a painter's block.
Right.
I never experience that because I have in my studio, I have a table where I do collage and drawing, and then I have another tiny table where I do wood carving, and then I have another table where I do paper mache and random stuff. So I always have different things that I can do.
Uh-huh.
So I'll start on something, and then, you know, I might switch and do something else.
Right.
So there's always things I want to keep doing, and I have stuff that, like with collages, that I started that I want to finish. And sometimes if I don't know what to do or I can't think, I'll just start making a new drawing.
Right.
So I just, you know, get started doing something. Right now I'm also just doing a lot of organizing and cleaning up.
Keep talking. You're good.
Because I spent like a good 2 weeks framing all the work for the show.
Right.
So I do my own, and that's pretty, you know, it's time consuming, but I like doing it.
Yeah.
So it's cutting mats and, you know, putting.
Yeah, is that something that artists in general do themselves, or do some people trust the gallery to do it for them?
I think that depends on where you are and what your gallery is and what kind of a relationship you have. I think if you're in a big high-end gallery in New York that like has devoted a lot of time and money to your artwork and selling it, they're going to want to frame it.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't have to do that, and they're going to pay for the framing and everything. Mm-hmm. In my situation, since I do the framing, you know, then I can't afford to go to a frame shop and say, okay, frame these 21 drawings
right.
for the show, because it's too expensive.
Yeah, because mm-hmm.
I've learned to do my own framing.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine who's a photographer, and she's had a few shows and has actually like searched the internet and found like discount,
yeah,
you know, companies that will do send her, you know, they cut them the custom size that
right,
she wants,
right.
but you know, she
yeah.
gets a discount when she orders for an entire show.
Yeah.
And they're really cool. If she doesn't use it, she can return it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of expenses in, you know, putting together stuff for an exhibition that maybe people don't think about. I mean, I find frames like all over in thrift shops.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, Deborah wanted all the frames black. That's her.
Oh.
She likes a uniformity. So I actually right. painted frames.
And I think that it looks nice to have
yeah,
them all black.
I think it does look nice.
It's
yeah,
really
it looks real good. Yeah, I'm happy with the way the show was put together. And there was a curator who is, I think, finishing her BFA program at UVA. And her name is Hosty, and she curated and helped hang the show. And so that was fun to meet her.
Cool. Well, we're going to take a break, pay a bill, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Homegrown.
Hello, this is Brian Weimer of the Ix Art Park, and you're listening to Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC.
Oh, 21 minutes past the hour, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and this is Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. We are here with Nim Pedersen, local artist who has
local
visual artist who has a show of drawings and collages up at Chroma Arts Project. What up, Nim?
Hey, Clinton. Good morning.
So Nim, I wanted to talk about the process of getting a show, because that's something that...
Why are you going to bring me down?
Well, that's something that I know is hard for visual artists. And so whenever we have someone on the show who has done it, I like to get the process that they went through so that other artists who are listening can have, like, you know, a little in
yeah.
on how to get it done.
I'd say with Chroma, I think for me it was fortunate because Deborah's a very nice woman who's she communicates with artists in a way that art gallery people
right.
don't. And I was in a group show when she had her gallery on the downtown mall.
Okay.
I think about maybe 5-6 years ago, and mm-hmm. it was in the old Flower Building.
Yeah.
And since then, she's moved several times to her new location, partly because the rents on the downtown mall have been
insane.
Unaffordable. So she's been on, like, a lot of, like, month-to-month kind of arrangements with building owners simply because she can't sign a long-term lease that's going to cost so much money.
Right.
Right.
So anyway, so she was just a woman who responded and, you know, she looked at my website, so she was, the communication was good. And mm-hmm. then I, you know, asked her about a drawing show, and she, you know, said, yeah, I'd love to do it. And, you know, so I think that's, to me, an anomaly, okay? Because my experience with dealing with galleries has been, I'd say, quite the opposite. And I found a lot of them, well, let's put it this way. Andy Warhol, I think, once said, like, You know, success in the art world is 99% who you know and 1% talent. And in a sense, like in New York, I think it's like if you don't network and make connections and do all this promotion of yourself and your art, you're not going to get anywhere.
Right.
So, you know, being a relatively introverted person who likes to just make pictures but doesn't know really the best way to market it,
mm-hmm.
You know, for me, I think I'm sort of typical of a lot of visual artists who kind of, like, you know, they're not the best salespeople.
You're introverted?
I'm less introverted than I used to be. I don't know. You got to ask my wife. She says I busted out of my shell.
Oh, well, that's good.
But yeah, I mean, it's all, I know artists who just, they don't even bother with galleries because it is so, you know, annoying and difficult. And, you know, the times that I have sent, you know, images or, you know, emails to galleries out of town, you know, usually you don't get a response like, no, sorry, right. we're not interested. That's, you know.
Because that would be polite.
Wow, that sounds like a writer throwing, you know, sending out submissions to publishers.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But it's
like
usually
it's a lot of the
like
same.
I won't even get the rejection email or in the old days, the rejection letter, because, you know, if it's not solicited, some galleries aren't even bothering.
Right, they won't even open it.
And then even galleries that I've sent stuff to that are looking at new work and stuff don't respond.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I had that problem with a gallery in Richmond where I actually went to the gallery. I talked to the owner. She was really nice, and she said she was going to look at my website, and then I emailed. She just never responded.
Huh.
So, you know, I see that as kind of typical. And, you know, Charlottesville, I think the one thing I did that was kind of my way of setting up my own gallery and not having to go through that channel was when I did Art Snacks on the downtown mall, which was a table that I set up and had a...
And you set that up. And how long did you do Art Snacks?
I did it for close to 3 years. Like really 2 years. And then when I started this rather full-time gig in the food business, I sort of had to just I had to put it aside.
The horrible day job.
Being a salesperson outside on the downtown mall, you basically have Friday, Saturday,
yeah,
maybe sometimes Sunday, and then those became the days when I was needed to be working.
So let's hold off on that because I want to talk about Art Snacks and I want to talk about the Art Snacks, the Art Snacks experience. Let's do our list of things coming up, and then we'll jump back in. With Nim.
Let's do a list. Shall we? All right. Some of the artistic events happening this week. Currently running December 8th, the American Shakespeare Center runs its summer-fall season with just four plays. Emma Wydpay's adaptation of Jane Austen's Emma, George Etheridge's The Man of Mode.
Just blame everything on the show hangover.
I should, actually. The Man of Mode or Sir Flopping...
Fopling Flutter.
Yes, and Richard III as You Like It by Shakespeare. Currently running through August 19th, artist Samantha Gray's show...
Guyon.
Okay, that's spelled odd. Guyon Reveries, running at the McGuffey Arts Center. Currently running through the 28th, along with today's guest, Nim Peterson's show at Chroma Arts Projects. Okay, you're going to have to help me with this. You had to help me with last week.
Akemi Ohira. And Shuzing Zhang. I think that's right.
God, I hope that's right. If it's not right, we're so sorry. okay, currently running through the 28th. All right, through the 29th, Crybaby, the musical based on the John Waters movie by the same name, presented at Live Arts by the Teen Summer Program. Awesome. Currently running Macbeth, or... Black Mac, by the Charlottesville Players Guild at the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center. Also through the 29th, recreation of the Marx Brothers production of The Coconuts at UVA's Culver Theater as part of their Heritage Summer Theater Festival. Today, Noli Reed leads the Charlottesville Writer House Seminar Strong Openings, Right from the Start, a workshop examining the openings of short stories. Tomorrow, ages 14 and up are welcome to learn to use the tape-resist painting technique to make geometric designs at the Gordon Avenue branch of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Tomorrow...
The Jeff Madridge Lib. I think that's what we're just going to call it.
Madridge Lib?
The Jeff Madridge Lib. Reach Lib.
Can we just say JMRL?
I like the Jeff Mad Reach line.
Oh, my God. tomorrow, ages 14 and up, can try screen painting techniques on canvas and on tote bags at the Crozet branch of the Jeff Mad Reach line. All right. 24th, the UVA Fralin. Ooh, we're going to the Fralin, darling, on the 24th. Offers Toddlers in Artland. Okay, well, that accent didn't really go with this, did it? Where museum educator Emily Lazaro introduces parent and toddler pairs to big ideas in development theory through playful practice strategies. Oh, isn't that sweet? Bring the little ones. The 25th, Fun for the Young at UVA's Fralin Museum of Art. Explore artwork with observation, movement, and play with arts educator Amy Hunt. The 25th, Laugh Your Ass Off Open Mic, hosted by Chris Allen at the Southern Cafe Music Hall. The 26th through the August 1st, David Lindsay Abair's Good People at Oak Grove Theater in Verona. You know, it's been a while since I've been to Oak Grove. I need to.
Oak Grove?
Yeah, we need to go out.
Still there?
We need to go there. We need to plan a trip with them.
Still there?
Okay. 26th through the 5th, the Mountaintop at UVA's Ruth Kaplan Theater as part of their Heritage Summer Theater Festival. 26th through the 5th, Black Bloc's Players production of Gilbert and Sullivan's The Pirates of Penzance at Aldergate's Methodist Church. Oh, Pirates of Penzance. I have a little soft... We did that in high school.
Yeah, okay. Slave
anyway,
duty.
Little tear. July 26th. The House of Bell drag show at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. Oh, my God. Yes. You guys need to come back on the show.
House
that was
Bell.
A fun Sunday.
House of Bell.
July 27th through the 18th, Young Frankenstein at Four County Players. Gee, were they on the show?
They were just on the show last week,
last week. All right.
Too bad. People could go to SIVOPodcast.com and listen to the podcast of that show.
Exactly.
If they missed it last week.
And July 27th, Bent Theater Comedy Improv plays The Bridge at the Progressive Arts Initiative. And your musical options this week.
Currently running till August 5th, the Wintergreen Summer Music Festival. This year's festival is Building Bridges, celebrating the connections that only music can make. For a full schedule, go to thewintergreenperformingarts.org. Today, Juliet Busing and Trio at Pippin Hill Farm and Vineyards at 1 p.m. Also today, the Go-To's at the Batesville Market at 1 p.m. South Canal Street at Bold Rock Cidery at 1 p.m. Your choice at 1 p.m. is going to be difficult.
It is. Why?
Because three things are going on at 1 p.m.
Well,
but
three
tonight,
things are always going on.
David Tewksbury at Fellini's.
David!
Tomorrow, the ATM unit at Rapture on July 24th. Bob Huntington and then Travis Elliott at Fellini's. On July 25th, get your acid jazz from the John Bradbury Trio at the Shebeen Pub and Bry. Also on the July 25th, Gallatin Canyon's Ben Hernandez and Gabe Roby throw down the bluegrass at the Whiskey Jar.
Oh, wow.
July 25th, the Bobbleheads at Dirty Nelly's. Josh Mayo, all by himself, at 1221 Market Street.
All by himself?
All by himself. I say all by himself because usually he fronts the open mic.
Yeah.
But now, Josh Mayo, boom, holding it down.
Look at him.
Holding it down. Speaking of holding it down, July 25th, former guest Lua, love Lua, at Stinson Vineyards.
Ooh.
July 27th, the Gladstones play Fridays After 5 at the Sprint Pavilion. Pat Anderson plays this week's Full Nelson Fridays at Blue Mountain Brewery. Rainy Day Quartet plays jazz at the Garage. Gary Randall at Wayland's Crossing, South Canal Street at Bald Top Brewing in Madison. Overdog at Glasshouse Winery. And an all-ages punk show featuring X-Smash casters, Chugger Knots, and Reston, Virginia's branch manager at the Ix Art Park. All of that is July 27th.
I'm sorry. We've got to go back to those names just for a second.
All Ages Punk Show.
Uh-huh.
X Smash Casters.
Uh-huh.
Chugger Knots. Love it. Love it.
I'm sorry. I'm like twitching on that one. Okay.
Because it's a punk band.
And what's the last one?
It's supposed to make it twitch a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Reston, Virginia's branch manager.
Okay, who names a punk band branch manager? Like that's
I think it's sort of ironic punk there.
Ironic punk?
I think it's the
is that what
branch manager?
Oh my god, is that what those people are doing now?
July 28th, Duck Brothers at Rapture. July 28th, also Sue Harlow at Albemarle Ciderworks. Billy and the Backbeats at the Batesville Market. Singer songwriter Amelia Julia Kresge at the Hardywood Pilot Brewery and Tap Room, and the Accidentals with the Carol McAvoy Project do Rapunzel's jazz sessions at Rapunzel's Coffee and Books. Donna Nelson every Friday, of course. It's the Pickin' and Grinnin' Vocal and Music Jam at the James River Brewery in Scottsville every Monday. The Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Also, Seafoot, the Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music, doing their weekly open jam at the Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Where else? Also on Monday, Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar. Let's try that again. Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar. The record just got stuck for a moment there. It's the Songwriter Night at the Local every Tuesday, the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Also every Tuesday, Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Sales at the Bebedero. Every Wednesday, Open Mic Night at the Pro Reynado Farm Brewery. Boom! Open Mic Night at Holly's Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo. Boom! Jazz Collective number 9 at Fellini's number 9. Boom! DJ and Friends of the Bebedero. Boom! Bachata Fusion at the Ix Art Park. Boom! Stone Rolling at the Shebeen Pub and Bribe. And...
Oh, that's a lot.
If that's not enough for you, over at Miller's, it's the Mike Krasinski and Jeff Decker Quartet.
All right.
Every Thursday, our friends Lua at the Bebedero.
Bebedero.
Every Thursday... John Dearth! With the John Dearth Quintet over at Miller's, because every once in a while, you just got to come down to Dearth. And those are just some. Just a sample.
Just a little bit.
We didn't want to give you too much. Musical options.
We didn't want to put it all on you.
That we have for you in our wonderful artistic town. This is Homedrome. This is Homedrome.
Hi, this is Chloe Esther, and you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7.
36 minutes past the hour. This is 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. His guest today is Emily Warren from Region 10, talking about suicide prevention.
Wow, that's a cheery... Well, I guess it could be a cheery subject. Depends on her numbers. I'm just saying.
Okay.
she's got good numbers, then yeah, that'll be a little peppy conversation.
But before we get to that, the thing preventing me from ending it all right now.
Yes.
Is the opportunity to continue speaking with Nim Pedersen.
I know, right?
Well, thank you.
And you
thank
found
you
your
much.
Segue. I'm
there you
so
go.
Happy for
got
you.
Got my segue Jones back. Got the segue move back. There you go.
That was a good one.
Nim, Art Snack. So talk about the Art Snacks experience on the
yeah,
downtown
that
mall.
Was... I really liked doing Art Snacks. That was fun. I...
Well, for those people out there who don't know what that is, what was that or is that?
Well, that was my attempt to promote my artwork, and I think I thought, well, I can maybe sell enough small, really affordable drawings to not have to get a different kind of job. So it was like a fantasy. Okay, I admit that. But what I did was I got a permit from City Hall and set up a table. It ended up being mostly down by the fountain near the Paramount. Mm-hmm. And I shared a permit with my buddy, Kristen, who makes beautiful blown glass things. And she's been there for a long time. And also next to her on the weekends is Ken, who's a great potter, who's lived in Charlottesville off and on for quite a while, I think, and he's originally from Japan. He's also a painter of quite a lot of talent.
Wow.
So that was I had what I had. I had small drawings, maybe postcard size, sometimes some frame things, you know, a little bit larger. Occasionally I'd bring a painting down, like an oil painting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And people could buy like a drawing for, you know, $10. It was like super affordable.
Yeah.
And it was a way to just put my art on the street, literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also to have art that was kind of affordable, because a lot of people can't afford to go into a gallery and buy a piece of art because, you know, face it, it's expensive.
It's very expensive.
And so anyway, so I did that, and, you know, it was great. But, you know, you're a vendor, so some weekends you sell stuff, and some weekends you don't.
Right. Right.
And some weekends it rains.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but it was a fun experience. And I had also this idea that I could buy a used ice cream truck and do art snacks across the country.
Yes.
Stopping in cities and setting up. And then I thought, okay, well, I do have a family and a farm and responsibilities, so that might not happen right now. So,
but, you know, one day.
One day. You never know.
So the one of the many things I love about that is how, I mean, that feels a little bit subversive to me, at least in terms of, if you want to talk about the visual art establishment, because, you know, you've got, and this is to say nothing against Chroma, love Chroma.
Oh yeah.
Very open, very welcoming, really great. But you know, you have showings in galleries. It can feel, you know, like very formal, and the art can feel very rarefied just by its presentation,
by how it's presented.
Yes,
yeah,
I agree.
And also, you know, it's you know, they're pricey pieces. You know, you walk and say, "Wow, that's really great," and then you look at the price tag.
So you're like,
wow,
"Okay, that's really never coming too. Home
that's
with me."
But more, you know, expensive than the house that I'm trying to buy.
Right? Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know, at the same time, you know, artists they you can understand why they're charging what they're at, because they gotta live. But anyway, I wonder if you suffer or benefit at all from the sort of loss of that rarefied cachet when you're just right there, you know, you got a table on the mall. It's like, boom.
Yeah. You know, trade affordable. In. Yeah. It's a trade. I mean, it is. I mean, it was subversive. I was trying to bring the art, you know, establishment down on its knees, but then I realized that landlords were going to do that for me. So,
yeah.
No, I think, yeah, I mean, sort of. What you do is you run the risk of people not taking you seriously because you're a street vendor, so
right,
they think your art's no good, and then you have, you know, at the same time you're like making your own rules and doing what you want to do, and sort of saying, okay, well, you know, I want my art to be like available and not
accessible to people, right?
So, and a lot of people who stopped or people who don't go to art galleries and don't go, you know.
Right.
And some people don't even know anything about art and they just like to look at it.
They like what they like.
And then some people were like very familiar with art and they were like, why aren't you in a gallery in New York? So I had all kinds of people, you know, stop and talk to me. So it was great. But as far as the art gallery being a rarefied environment that kind of puts people off, I agree. When I lived in New York, I didn't go to galleries because they would basically make me feel like I wasn't welcome.
Yeah.
And this was mostly, I'd say, in the 80s.
Yeah.
When the art world was really becoming like a more of a commodity. Like art was becoming a real commodified thing.
Yes. Right.
It was like an investment. It was... People who didn't like art were getting buying art because they were told that's the thing to do.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it was, I mean, I went to museums more because museums are great. And I could see, you know, like paintings by Bruegel, one of my favorite painters. And, you know, he died a long time ago. And I'm not going to find, like, new galleries showing the works of Bruegel.
Right.
So, anyway, yeah. But so it was, you know, it was a trade-off.
Yeah, new work by Bruegel. It's a recently found work by Bruegel. That's
a, come here. I got two or three more in the back.
We ran across a stash of it over on Fifth Street. It just happened to be there.
It fell off a truck. What?
There is some forger out there right now, probably making very passable Bruegel. You never know, right?
There you go. So, do you think you'll get back to the point where you could do that again?
At this point, I'm not really sure because I'm, you know, our situation. My wife and I, you know, we sort of plan our lives sort of on a day-to-day basis. Like, she has a work schedule that is not like 9 to 5. It changes based on what she does. My work schedule is I'm basically a seasonal employee, so I have a couple of weeks now where I can do other things, but once the school year starts, then I'll probably be back, you know, more or less full time, you know, close to full time.
Right.
So, you know, we can't really plan. Like, but yeah, I mean, it's something I'd like to do. I really like doing it. I think some people, or one person in particular I talked to who is, a painter named Daryl Rose, who
you guys
might know Daryl.
We love Daryl.
We've had him on the show.
I love his art.
And
he said, you know, Nim, if you had this table in North Carolina or in New Orleans, you'd sell the whole thing.
The whole thing every
today.
Day. Yep.
So he sort of said that, like where you are doing it is going to be, largely important. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know that I'm going to, you know, I think that's, you know, like when I thought of getting a, you know, ice cream truck and going around the country, I thought, oh, yeah, that would be
very cool. And
experiment.
It'd be really cool if you could actually get one big enough where you could actually make the ice cream in the back.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that wouldn't be hard.
So, you know, a piece of art and some, you know.
Right.
And
ice cream
a double
art.
Scoop. You
yeah.
know. Right?
Or I guess people like the smoothie now. I don't know.
Whatever. I want some ice cream. Whatever.
So, yeah, I mean, I'd say in general, like, you know, for art, my life as an artist, I'd say, because, you know, I find a lot of personal meaning and, you know, my own self-therapy from doing it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
So all of the other part of art, you know, is sort of, it's important, but it's not like the most important.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a lot of artists. I think we've had a lot of the artists who have come on the show say that or something like that, that their art grew out, their impetus to do art grew out of a need to communicate something.
Right.
And over the years has grown to be how they communicate things.
Yeah.
So it literally is their therapy.
Yeah.
And I'm not outside of that. I mean, I've been writing since I was, you know, in elementary school. And over the years, it has become my therapy. Like when I see something that is in my life or that's happening in the world, that's how I do. I create a story around it and try and solve the problem.
Right. Like, yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, you know, I know people said, oh, what's it like to be an artist? And I said, well, if you want to be like financially stable, really just don't.
Yeah. Don't.
Don't do it.
Don't. You know? Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Could I try to draw a line between Art Snacks and the exhibit that you've got right now? Because I wonder how much... are you an inveterate people watcher?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say I am. I mean, I'm not a spy, but I do observe, you know, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that so makes sense. Because looking at the human figures that are that you've got in your current show up at Chroma, it really feels like, you know, it really feels like the work of somebody who's sat back and just spent a lot of time looking at people. And not just, I mean, there's the one aspect that you talked about, like you've spent a lot of time figure drawing and you understand how to express the human figure, but also it looks like a lot of time just watching people, because the poses are so expressive. And it's like, it's, you know what it's like? It's like, it's with all those figures, it's like you've captured little moments. And that's why it's so tempting to put narratives to them, because in a way it's almost like photography in that way, because it feels like those, like you've drawn just like these little moments in a scene or in a life or of somebody on the street. I remember there was one with a figure that, and it wasn't clear what the figure was doing, but just in the, it seemed male, and just in the way that he was sort of hunched and he was sort of leaned, it was just like you.
So like a moment in time.
Yeah. It's like you, like, that was somebody that you saw.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's great. I mean, I think, you know, if it can connect with people, you know, then that's what's really probably most important, you know.
So he's not going to give us the answer.
You know,
he's not going to tell us if they're actual people or if
they're really imaginative, you know.
Okay.
They are. I mean, I have sketched people as they've walked down the mall and stuff like that, but
right.
That's not how I get my
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But I bet you that they've just stayed up there.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's true. And also might be because I'm, you know, been around for a while. So you got a lot of time to...
You mean this isn't your 25th year?
Well, it's my
27th. Oh, okay. We're going to pay a bill. We'll be right back with Nim Pedersen.
This is David Tewksbury, singer-songwriter from Charlottesville, Virginia, and you are listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC.
I am
50 minutes past the hour. Totally. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC.
I mean, I love
the progressive
music.
Voice of Charlottesville. And we're sitting up here with Nim Pedersen. Stay tuned afterwards for the Sunday Morning Geico Call with your host, Rick Moore. His guest is Emily Warren from Region 10, and they're talking about suicide prevention. But first, we're going to go back
to our lovely conversation with Nim.
With Nim,
who just told me that he wants to learn to play an instrument. What instrument do you want to learn to play?
Well, I'd say I think it's been in the jazz vein, so the trumpet I think would be my first choice because it seems like the simplest, but it's probably not.
It's not.
But you know, the saxophone, too many keys. I don't think I could handle it.
Oh my gosh!
He's like. No,
so many,
keys. Too many buttons. I can't.
So many.
I did when I was young. I played the harmonica pretty regularly. Not you know, in a band or, you know, but I play the harmonica, and I always loved the blues when I was really, I think I got a Sonny Boy Williamson record when
Ooh,
I was
nice.
Probably like 17 or something. So I always got into that.
Okay.
And then I'd say in my mid 30s, I started listening to jazz a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I have to say that when I lived in New York, there was a great radio station connected to Columbia University, and uh-huh. they had a show all about Charlie Parker. So that was that put me on the jazz vein.
There
so
you go.
That was a great show.
That's a good vein to be on.
Yep, it
definitely.
Is.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll find someone to teach you.
Yeah, I'm sure it's out there.
But the trumpet is not it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. If you don't have time to do arts next.
It's all about the lip placement. Yeah, it's right. Yeah.
Well, not just that. I remember, like piano, I can understand. Like, I can, like,
right.
You know.
You don't understand how keys, the trumpet makes the difference.
You know, like white keys, black keys hold multiple keys. It's right. Just like there's a way in which it's laid out that's...
There's a structure, yes.
You can see when somebody first, like when some music teacher first allowed me to touch a saxophone.
Yes.
And to try to make it, it's like, okay, well, and these, like these pegs, like, okay, you hold this, but then you hold this, but then like these two fingers down, but these three fingers are the same, but these right. Five, these just like how... Like, how? Like, my mind just started going to jelly. It's like, aww. I can't... like, well, the first, like, you hold this one thing down, you get one note. Okay, I can get that. You hold the next thing down, you get another note. Okay, I can get that. And your third thing down, you know, okay. Now, put your first finger down, and then the second, and then the third finger down. All right, okay, that's another note. Okay, put your first finger down and third finger down at the same time. Then you, with your next hand, put the second finger down and then the fourth finger down. But then you also, with the thumb, you want to wrap it around, and this, so just...
Wow.
overload.
Well, I played the clarinet in high school. No, I was not in marching band. I was not that much of a geek. I was almost there, though. I was on the,
man,
I was on the line.
Love. Much
I,
love for marching band.
I was no, I had much love for marching band. I had lots of friends that did marching band, but I just couldn't do it. So I'm used to the multiple fingers and the you know, that was just part of the instrument. But yeah, I kind of miss my clarinet. Like I haven't picked it up. Well, I sold it years ago, but I haven't picked up a clarinet or anything in a very long time. And I'm kind of like,
that's a great sound.
Yeah, it is. It's a beautiful sound. And but that's how I know, like, trumpet is not easy, because you know, clarinet, we've got the reed, and you know, that's what helps create the sound. Well, with a trumpet, your mouth is creating all of that sound.
That's right.
So yeah. But I could see you as a trumpet player. I could definitely see you as a jazz trumpet player. We need to make that happen, Nim.
So speaking of great speaking of great sounds, I would like to read this from Nim's artist statement.
Yes.
From his current show. He says, the human form is depicted through art as an illuminating gauge of the many layers of the human condition, as shown since prehistoric times. On a personal level, making art is a way to create order from chaos, to meditate, to have plain old fun. It provides a way to maintain ballast in a world of increasing strangeness. What I hope to achieve through my work is connection with people on whatever level the viewer meets my work, be it serious or humorous. Dude, you don't talk that way when you talk to me.
Well, that's because you're special, Clinton.
Wow, Nim, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show
today.
Well,
it has been so much fun talking to you.
Good. I'm glad you had a good time.
Thank you for inviting me on.
Of course.
Really enjoy it. And I just plug my show. You have one more week to
That's
see
right.
it.
That's right.
I think
one more week.
And Chroma is open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 1 to 5.
So. Awesome.
Indeed. Thursday, Friday, Saturday from 1 to 5, right on Water Street, right off the downtown mall.
Yep.
Go check it out. It's great. It's fabulous. Thank
it's
you,
Nim. Fabulous.
Thank you.
Wow.
All
Clinton,
right.
We kind of pulled that one out, didn't we? I mean.
You make it sound like it was stuck somewhere.
Well.
I think you meant to say we pulled that one off.
No. I said it the way I meant to.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Then maybe it was stuck somewhere.
And not necessarily a pleasant place.
And that's the great thing about Homegrown. Regardless of how far up a show is stuck, we're here to pull that show.
We will pull it out.
We are your art proctologists.
Yes. Did I mention I have a new brand of lube, or special one that I make myself?
There you go. And that so much is Homegrown. Whole new. It's levels. It's like Nim's art.
Right? There are levels.
Levels to it.
Yes.
always
Oh my goodness. Well, you know what, Clinton? It's been lovely.
It's been a joy. It's been
it
a joy
has.
And a half.
Yes. You know, these past 2 weeks, like getting back to like the roots of Homegrown.
The roots of Homegrown.
Just you and me.
As David is snatched away.
I know.
By his day job.
By the sinister day job.
Which will continue. I think we
for one more week. I think we have lost him. But stay tuned next after the show, the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with your host Rick Moore. His guest is Emily Warren from Region 10, talking about suicide prevention. Ooh, oh my goodness. I think it's time for us to go with Clinton. I'm very sad,
I think so.
Though.
As the sun sets across the Kilimanjaro, we bid a fond farewell.
Yes.
To our wily hosts from Homegrown. We want to say that our opening music is from Spit It Out, Inc. Our event music is by Positive Collective. Any complaints about Homegrown should be directed to our attorneys at the fine, fine, fine firm of Tochterman, Overman, Munson, and Burke. Legal services like a song. Coming up next, of course, it's the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. And if you want more of us, well, you'll just have to tune in next week. This is Homegrown, signing off.
WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.